Well, good morning. How are you guys feeling today? Hey, well, I... Good morning. How you guys doing? Is that a little bit better? Let me turn this off. All right, sweet. Sorry about that. I'm super pumped and just super thankful that we get to just worship together this morning. We are continuing through this series called Made New in Galatians. And so if you have a Bible today, we're going to be in Galatians 5, verse 1 through 12. And if you don't have a Bible, we'd love for you to throw a hand up. We got people that are walking down that would love to hand you one. And so we actually just got back from this trip called CIY, which is Christ in Youth. We took our high school students out there, which was awesome. Had a lot of fun. I'll be all right. I appreciate it. Let's give it up for David Upchurch. What a guy. It's perfect. We just got back from this trip actually yesterday from CIY, which is Christ in Youth. We went to Knoxville, Tennessee, brought our high schoolers out there, and we had a lot of fun. There was a lot of transformation that happened with the students as well as just growth in the youth group. And so we made a little recap video that I would love for you guys to check out and just see kind of a few things that we did this week. It was a lot of fun. We got back a lot quicker than we got there because they were all sleeping. But it was definitely a good time, and I had a lot of fun. I'm going to talk a little bit more about CIY specifically later in this message. But one thing that I just want to say is we did a fundraiser probably like 2 months ago, and we appreciate all that we're able to give and to donate to this youth ministry and just being able to allow these students to go on trips like this. Being able to grow closer to God as well as closer together just in community is huge. So I appreciate you guys for just financially letting us being able to do these things, which is awesome. But to kind of start, I wanted to just say happy Father's Day to all the dads in here. Whether you are a dad or maybe you're remembering your dad, maybe you didn't have the best relationship with your father. But Father's Day is just a great reminder for us to just thank all the father figures that are in our life. So just thank you for all that you guys do. But my dad... He was military, and he was in the Navy. We moved around a lot whenever I was growing up, and I was blessed to have both parents whenever I was growing up that were together. But I remember growing up, there were some weird but really funny quirks about my parents, and like you just kind of had to learn how to like make them happy. You know what I mean? I'm sure a lot of you guys probably know what that is, but me and my siblings, we just knew the rules in the house growing up, right? If you wanted to make things go smoothly, you just gotta follow the rules. Like if you cooked anything and you were to use the kitchen, you had to make sure that you cleaned the dishes right then and there, right? You couldn't just let them sit out. If you were to ever ask my mom or my dad for anything, we figured out, it's almost like a algorithm. It's like, or not an algorithm, it's like a formula. With my mom and my dad, you had to clean your room, and then you had to do one random chore before you asked them anything, right? So then you could say, like, hey, mom, hey, dad, like, I cleaned my room, took out the trash. Can I go hang out with so-and-so, right? And it made it a little bit easier for them to say yes. We knew like when to be home or how to communicate with them about what we were doing. Another rule was that you had to make your bed each morning, whether I did that or not. It was just one of those things that they wanted the beds made every morning. They were big into manners like yes, ma'am, and yes, sir. My parents taught me so much when it comes to faith, finances, how to treat, how to respect women, how to communicate what I'm feeling. And I love my parents, but there is a but there. When I moved out, there was something freeing about not living under your parents' rules, right? It just felt a little bit different. Like a big one was curfew. I didn't have to tell anybody how late I was going to be there. I didn't have a time that I had to be back. It was different. Or being able to snack all day and spoil my dinner, sometimes not even eating dinner, just snacking the whole day. Or not having to think about what you do or who you hang out with. So when I graduated high school and when I went to college, when I moved out, it was a whole new ball game, right? Like I remember feeling free and ready to go, ready to do whatever my mature 18-year-old mind could come up with. I was excited. But I shortly and very quickly realized that while I wasn't living under my parents' roof, I was still like subconsciously abiding to their rules, right? Like I would still make sure that I kept clean, even though I didn't have my mom or my dad to tell me to clean it. It was a natural thing at that point to just make sure that I kept clean. I'd still like communicate with my parents each week, just call them, see how they're doing, tell them what's going on. But once I got roommates and I saw how other people lived and how other people were raised, there was a little bit of tension. I'm sure a lot of you guys have had stories of roommates where there's a little bit of tension just because different backgrounds. But I'm curious, like, what do you think the biggest issue when it comes to roommates or getting new roommates would be? I have no idea. I have no answer. But I was just curious. For me, it was dishes. That was the biggest one. The biggest or and the most fights that would happen were all because of dishes. My first roommate, he would let the dishes sit for days and he'd call it soaking and he'd wait like a week and a half, and then at that point they're even grosser than they were at the start, so then he'd have to rewash them, but he would just re-soak them, and it was just this whole cycle. And I tried to call him out on it and just say, you know, it's so much easier than waiting 3 weeks just doing them, you know. And that's, in my mind, that was like, that's just what you do. Like, that's how I was raised, and it just made sense in my head. There was tensions that we had with curfew, in the sense of, like, he would bring people over at, like, 3 a.m. and just be super loud and you know, be obnoxious and all that stuff. So I'd have a conversation about bringing people over super late. And I felt like a downer all the time, like, having these conversations. I just felt like a parent, but I didn't want to ruin his fun. I didn't want to be that guy. But the way that I lived and that I was raised was very different than my roommates. And I felt like he had to obey the same rules that I was brought into. And some of you guys might be thinking, well, it's not a bad thing to make somebody be clean or to be courteous. But I felt like I was in the wrong because I asked him to abide by the same rules that apply to me or that I grew up with. And today I start with that story because while we are in Galatians, we see that Paul and Barnabas have come in to preach the gospel to this church in Galatia, tell everybody about who Jesus is and the joy of having Jesus in your life, the joy of following him, the grace that he offers, the grace that he brings. And then after they finished their message, there were people that came after and they're like, oh yeah. Like this dude, Jesus, he's great. He's awesome. You should definitely pursue a life with him. But if you want to follow Jesus, if you want to pursue Jesus, you have to be a Jew like Jesus. So yes, you have the gospel, you have the message of Jesus, you should follow that, but you should also follow our Jewish rules and our Jewish customs. And so we see in Galatians 5 this conflict going on and how Paul addresses it. And so I'm going to jump right into this passage and then we'll pray right after. But starting in Galatians 5, verse 1, he says, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Mark my words, I, Paul, tell you that if you let yourselves be circumcised, Christ will be of no value to you at all. Again, I declare to every man who lets himself be circumcised that he is obligated to obey the whole law. You who are trying to be justified by the law have been alienated from Christ. You have fallen away from grace. For through the Spirit we eagerly await, by faith, the righteousness for which we hope. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. You are running a good race. Who cut in on you to keep you from obeying the truth? That kind of persuasion does not come from the one who calls you. A little yeast works through the whole batch of dough. I am confident in the Lord that you will take no other view. The one who is throwing you into confusion, whoever that may be, that will have to pay the penalty. Brothers and sisters, if I'm still preaching circumcision, why am I still being persecuted? In that case, the offense of the cross has been abolished. As for those agitators, I wish they would go the whole way and emasculate themselves. I see why Dave wanted me to do this section. I'm just kidding. Hey, let me pray real quick, and we'll dive into this. God, I thank you for today. I thank you for just this time that we get to just continue to worship, dive into your word. And I just pray that we're able to just fully pursue truth. Like what Aaron was saying, that it's not about the truth that we want to hear, but it's the truth that you have for us today. And I just pray that you speak through me, that we're just able to focus on you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, starting in verse 1, he says, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by the yoke of slavery." So right as we start, right as we jump into this section, we're talking about freedom. And when we talk about this freedom that Paul is addressing, what exactly is he meaning when he talks about freedom? Because when we think about freedom, we think of the ability to do whatever we want, whenever we want. You're just going off to college. You're not having to live under these rules. You're free. You can do whatever you want, right? And while there is still free will, not to be confused with freedom, because free will can appear free, but it can still lead us and end up in bondage through addiction, through oppression, through weakness. But the freedom that Paul is talking about is the freedom to live in love, the freedom to live under grace, and the grace that we don't deserve, but that God offers us through the sacrifice of Christ. And so God offers this salvation, this lifestyle, this ability to have eternal relationship with him through Christ. And we get to celebrate that our salvation is not in our own hands, right? It's not in our actions, but it's in Christ. And so Paul is addressing in this letter that you are set free. You have this freedom by Christ, by the blood of his sacrifice, and that we should never say yes or never submit to anything else other than Jesus. That we are the sons, that we are the daughters of Christ. And Paul is addressing people that are still living as servants or as slaves to God. Because we talked about this a little bit last week in chapter 4, where you had Ishmael, and you had Ishmael, who was the son of flesh, and then you had Isaac, who was the son of promise. And Paul continues with this thought that they are still living under the law as slaves, as opposed to living like a son or living like a daughter under grace, that they were bound by the law, but now they're set free by grace. Because in this time, and we're going to see in the next couple of verses, there's been this huge debate that's been going on for quite a while about what sets us free, what actually gives us freedom apart from sin. And the debate comes from this idea that it is Jesus, right? You need to follow Jesus, you need to pursue Jesus, but also you have to be circumcised. You have to still abide by a certain level of Jewish custom. You need to do both. That if you follow Christ and you're circumcised, then you'll be free. Then you'll be saved. And the reason why this was such a big deal at this time is because for so long, all that they had known is following God through the law or through their actions. It was a system. But when Jesus changed everything, it was hard for people to switch their mindset from it's not what I do, but it's what Christ has already done for me. It's kind of a very difficult change in mindset. And Paul continues in verse 2. He says, "Mark my words, I, Paul, tell you that if you let yourselves be circumcised, Christ will be of no value to you at all. Again, I declare to every man who lets himself be circumcised that he's obligated to obey the whole law." So if you really want to be circumcised, if that's like your thing, you're like, this is what I'm called to do, because your heart is set on following these rules and not pursuing a relationship with God in order to be a Christian, then you better follow that law to a T and follow what the rest of the law says. Don't just be set apart on one aspect of the law, but the whole thing. He says, basically, if you're taking the gospel, if you're pursuing Jesus, and then you decide to add on to it, like the gospel is great, but here are all these other things, then you're no longer following the gospel. That's kind of what he's getting at. You might as well just be going back to the law that does not give you freedom, the same freedom that grace gives. He says in verse 4, you who are trying to be justified by the law, or justified by the law, basically meaning being made right with God, have been alienated from Christ. You have fallen away from grace. So if you put value onto the law, if you pursue the law, if you feel that those rules set in place are greater than the grace that that is given to you, and you're set in those ways, when you put value on the law, you are devaluing the cross. You are devaluing Jesus and what he did for you. Basically, if you think you can obtain your salvation through your own actions, then what was the point of Jesus? If we could do it, why aren't we, right? Paul at this point is getting very passionate about this topic, and rightfully so, because they're just not getting it. They're so set on these rules, and they just can't fathom being set free just through Christ without them doing anything. It's a performance-based faith. You know, like you do the right things, you follow these rules, then God will favor you, right? It's all on you. And it makes sense in our heads, but Paul is stressing that you don't deserve Christ. Let me be very clear. Paul's saying none of us deserve Christ, but he loves you. And he offers grace that frees us. But you're still so focused on what you can do that will never amount to what Christ has already done. He sacrificed himself for you. He wants an eternal relationship with you. So stop focusing on the law and just focus on the Father. And I love this next verse in verse 5, because I feel like it very blatantly summarizes almost the whole book of Galatians, but especially this chapter. He says, for through the Spirit we eagerly await by faith the righteousness for which we hope. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. Christ doesn't care about this issue of circumcision. He cares about whether or not you know him, whether you're under grace. And the way that you know that you're following Christ and not just abiding or reluctantly following these rules in the Bible, he says in verse 6, is that it's faith expressing itself through love. And you might be, I mean, a lot of us are thinking, I know I was thinking whenever I first was reading this, like if God said that circumcision wasn't a big deal, I know for me, I'd be like, okay, good enough for me. I don't got to do that. That's fine. It saves me a break, right? I don't know why people are really wanting this, you know? Like, I feel like that's not a very desired thing to do, but okay. You know, why would anybody want to be or choose to be circumcised and follow a religious or follow a structured system over a relationship with the Father? It just doesn't make sense to me. And I feel like I ask those same questions. I feel like we ask those same questions of why is this such a big deal to them? Just follow God. But I feel like we still fall to structures or systems that we put in our heart every single day. Because we as people, we love structure. We love rules and when we're told what to do. Whether you think you like that or not, the reason why people love structure and love systems in Christianity are for a few reasons that I want to go over this morning. But Paul is warning them, and he's warning us about the way that we think and the actions that we choose when it comes to going to the Father. They felt like grace wasn't enough, and they needed their actions to help gain favor with God. And I feel like we tend to do the same thing. But the reasons why we love systems, the first reason is that we are in control. You might not be, you know, waiting in line to go get circumcised, but I feel like we still place rules on our heart. And the reason why we do that, the reason why we love to follow these rules is because we are in control. We love when people say, you got to do this, this, and this. Don't do this. And then boom, you're good. You're a Christian. Just do these steps and you're fine. Go to church every once in a while. Give 10%. Read this much scripture. Don't murder people. Feel like I can do that, right? And we look at Christianity as rules to follow because that makes us in control. We get to decide what we do based on the following. We get to control whether or not we go to heaven. God said, if I do these things and I get eternal life, boom, I'll just do it. That's fine. I'll do whatever and I'll follow these rules and then I'm good. We love to be in control. And that's why we love systems. That's why we love performance-based faith. That's why we tend to view our relationship with God as a slave to a master as opposed to a son or a daughter under grace, because it's easier, because we're the ones in control. Reason number two of why we love rules is because it builds our pride, right? We all like to feel good about ourselves. That's why we love it. And that's why Paul is advocating against it. Because when we start to check everything off this list of things to do in a Christian life, it makes us feel better about ourselves. You know, what we're doing, and sometimes it causes us to look down on other people that are maybe struggling to do the same thing. Like, I know that I'm a good person because I read my Bible today. I know that I'm a good person because I prayed before my meal and I went to Chick-fil-A twice, two good things. I know I'm a good person because I helped this lady bring in groceries. And the question that we need to ask ourselves is, do we think that good people go to heaven? Do we think that good people deserve to go to heaven? And Paul is saying it's not good people that go to heaven. I don't care how many good things you do. It's saved people that go to heaven. I don't care what rules you're following. If you're not under grace, then you're broken. And we're broken regardless. So what he's saying is take your pride and humble it. Humble yourself before God. Because we all deserve the punishment of our sin. But Christ set us free. We love to be prideful. We love to feel like we're doing everything right. But Paul is reminding us that we need to be humble under grace. To express our faith through love and not pride. Lastly, reason number three of why we love to follow rules, why we love systems, is because we get to do the bare minimum. I can go to church. I'll pray before meals. I'll live in this system of rules. I'll do whatever he asks, and I'll do these things. You know, I'll block out an hour from my Sunday mornings to go to church. I don't necessarily like it. I hope it's just an hour. They better not go over. But you know what? I'd rather sleep in, but I will block off an hour for you, God. I'll do it. But since I'm there Sunday, since I did my good deed, I hope he doesn't ask me to do anything on Monday, because I've already done my thing for the week. I've already gone to church, right? I followed your rules. I'll pray. You know, I'll talk to you. I might pray for like 5-10 minutes on my drive there. But then after that, I want to think about what I want to think about. I want to do what I want to do. You've had your time with me this morning. You've had your time with me today. Now it's my time. After church, whenever I leave, I'm done. I want to do what I want to do. I will give my 10%. That's fine, because that leaves me with 90. So if that's all I need to do is just give 10% and then I get to go to heaven, perfect. I'll follow that rule. I'll still get my 90%. We love systems because who we have to be is limited. There's only so much that we can do. As long as we do step A, B, C, then we're good. And then we can do whatever we want. We don't have to go all in. We know we only have to follow these things and then we get to go to heaven. That's how it works, right? And this issue that this church in Galatia, and honestly that us today are facing, is that Jesus came into this world and said, I don't care about the money or your actions or what ways you're trying to make right of the wrong that you did, because you will never repay the damage done to your eternal Father. You're separated. That's why I'm here. To give you grace. And when we get sucked into this mindset of systems or rules and performance-based faith, we begin to feel like we aren't as morally bankrupt as we thought. We're doing the right things, right? Where the gospel says, no, you're bankrupt. You're evil. You're broken. You don't just need a system, but you need a savior. And Jesus came to say, I don't want your Sunday morning. I want your whole week. Don't just give me your Sunday morning. I want you to fully surrender and follow me so we can be in a full relationship. Not just by actions, but by grace. I don't want you to pray for a minute before meals. I want you to live in prayer so we can communicate, so you can know me, so I can hear all the good and the bad, and you can listen when I speak. I don't want your bare minimum. I want you. That's what this verse is saying. And this trip of CIY, again, it's Christ in Youth, was super impactful. We brought just under like 30 high school students to grow in their relationship, and God was moving this week because we got to see some real transformation where it kind of clicked for a lot of students that they were living under a system, they were living under rules and not fully under grace, not fully in surrender in relationship with God. Where they were confronted with this idea of, you know, like, I go to church, I go to youth group, I'll invite people to youth group, you know, I've been baptized, I take communion, but I don't want God involved in my feelings whatsoever. I want to feel how I want to feel. I want to take out my feelings on whoever I want to take it out on, right? I'll give you my Sunday, I'll do all these different things, but the way that I feel is mine, and I want to control that. I want to do it my way. And then some said, like, I love Jesus. I got scripture as my wallpaper on my phone, right? You know, like, I set reminders on the Bible app. But I don't want God to get into my life to help my addiction because I want that security blanket. I want that ability to just escape reality for 2 or 3 hours. I'll give God whatever he wants, but I don't want him to have that. You know, some said, I'll host Bible studies, I'll text people that I'm praying for them, you know, I'll listen to worship music, but I'm not going to go to God with my vulnerability, with what's going on at home, because I'm embarrassed. I don't want to deal with it, I just want to push it away. And they begin to realize, maybe I'm not all in. Maybe I'm not in full surrender, full relationship with God. Maybe I do whatever God says out of just being a slave and not following him wholeheartedly as a son or as a daughter. And out of that transformation, out of them just realizing, we had this one student named Annabelle who was baptized in a river in Knoxville, Tennessee, because she realized, I don't need a system, but I need a savior. And one thing that I just want to throw out there is that she was baptized not out of obedience as a slave, but she was baptized out of obedience as a daughter who knows that her father loves her and that she gets to spend the rest of her life with him. Just to throw this out here, we had three other students that came forward that wanted to get baptized. They wanted to wait because they wanted their family to be there, but man, God was moving this week. And I want us to rethink our obedience to God. Are we coming to church? Are we joining small groups, getting connected to the word just because that's what we're supposed to do? It's what the rules say. Or is it out of desire to obey a father that loves you? Because here's the difference. One is obedience out of fear because you just don't want to go to hell. The other is obedience out of love because you have faith that God cares for you. You trust in him. You're fully surrendered to him. Because you know that's what God wants for us. And that's a question that you need to ask yourself. Because again, one is freeing. The other holds us in bondage as a slave of following rules just out of reluctance. And so I know it's Father's Day. And I remember as a kid always just testing the boundaries. Right? Like sometimes, you know, I wouldn't listen to my dad whenever he'd ask me to do something. But as I got older, as I matured, I realized that he had my best interest at heart. Right? So now when I ask for advice or guidance, I listen. Not because I'm just submitting to him, but because I know that my dad cares for me. And he just wouldn't steer me wrong. And I feel like when we're young in our faith, we merely obey because we just don't want to go to hell. I don't want to face punishment. So I'll just do whatever this dude wants, this God wants, just to make him happy. And as we grow to know God, we realize that he's a loving father. And we desire to obey out of love and out of trust for him. We desire to give him everything, give him our time, give him our money, give him our heart, because we trust him. And some of you guys in this room, you just don't trust God. And it's not an uncommon struggle. It's not like a simple ask of like, yeah, I'll just give you everything, that's fine. It's a very big ask to fully surrender to God. And I feel like a lot of my students, they face the same issue. We're like, I just don't know if I can trust God. I just don't know if I can go all in. I just feel like I'm not really that close to him yet. I feel like the question I always ask is, well, do you know him? Or are you just merely following rules? And they take time to think about it, because it's one of those things where you're like, yeah, I just haven't really gotten close to God. It's like, okay, well, how's your heart? Like, are you growing closer to him just out of obedience out of fear, or are you growing out of obedience and love? And I feel like Paul is showing these people in Galatia that they just need to stop being so disciplined in the law that doesn't offer grace for their actions, but pursue a relationship with a Savior that went to the cross for you and me. Does that make sense? Okay. All right, verse 7. He said, you were running a good race. Who cut in on you to keep you from obeying the truth? That kind of persuasion does not come from the one who calls you. A little yeast works through the whole batch of dough. He's saying, you guys were doing so well. You were walking in faith. You were pursuing the Lord. And now you're so focused on circumcision. Who's been telling you these things? He's saying this idea, it's like yeast. It affects not just one of you, but all of you. It affects the whole batch. Verse 10, he says, I'm confident in the Lord that you will take no other view. The one who is throwing you into confusion, whoever that may be, will have to pay the penalty. Brothers and sisters, if I'm still preaching circumcision, why am I still being persecuted? In that case, the offense of the cross has been abolished. As for those agitators, I wish they would go the whole way and emasculate themselves. Right now, Paul's just popping off. And he's using this hyperbole to express his heart, to express his emotion. And as we close this morning, I just got one question for you guys. I'm trying to keep it super simple. The question is, are you free? Are you living freely, or are you just living to obey? Are you obeying God because you know his heart, and that the things that he commands are a blessing and they give us a purpose? Or are you obeying God just to appease him, to get him off your back? I feel like this is such an important question. And we're going to talk about this more next week with Dave. But when we are free and truly free under grace, we live freely. I feel like we love freely. I feel like we give freely. We're all in. And some of you guys aren't there. You don't have that relationship with God. Right now, you're not necessarily an Isaac, the son of promise, but you're treating God like an Ishmael, like the son of flesh, just obeying these rules. Like, do you view God as a master and you're just his slave? Just following him blindly and doing whatever he asks of you because you fear him? Or do you view him as a loving father? Because that's where our freedom comes from. That's where our relationships come from. So a God who knows you entirely, cares for you, and wants you to know him, wants you to experience him, to have a relationship. And that's why we obey him. That's why we follow these commandments. That's why we listen to what he says, because we trust that he's for us. Because thank goodness that we don't live under a system, but that we live under grace, that we have a Savior. We no longer have to perform to get favor from God or comply reluctantly, but we have the privilege that we didn't deserve to know him. And some of you guys here are like on the fence, right? Like, you've just been obeying God just to make him happy. There's really no relationship. And some of you guys are here, and this might be either your first time in church, maybe you haven't been in church for a while, and you're just trying to figure out this whole Jesus thing. But if you're here and you truly want to know what full surrender to a loving father looks like, we got people in the back that would love to have that conversation. And when we're ready to go all in, not holding back certain parts of our lives, but truly be in full relationship with the Father, not just follow a system, we get baptized. Fully immersed into water, to have our sins forgiven, to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, and to commit our lives to Jesus. Baptism isn't just about believing in him, but it's about knowing that he's a loving father and wanting your life to revolve around him. But I just want to know if we're ready to just stop halving our relationship with God and just go all in. Not our performance, not on what we can do, but just in grace. And we're entering into this time of communion. And communion is something that we do every week. And it's a reminder and a celebration that we don't live under the law, but we live under grace through the sacrifice that Jesus made on that cross. That we as a church get to celebrate in that. That we get relationship. We get to know the Father. Not through laws, but through relationship. And so as we enter into this time of communion, we have four tables in the corner of the room. I really want to challenge you guys with that question. Are you free? Or do you feel like you're just exhausted from trying to follow these rules, trying to appease God? You're like, all right, time's up. Let's go home. Or are you living under grace? Are you living freely? Are you living in a relationship? So I'm going to pray, and then we're going to get into this time of communion. But God, I thank you for today, and I just thank you for the sacrifice that you made on that cross. I thank you for the opportunity that we get in this time of communion to focus on that. The grace that was given, the grace that we didn't deserve, we now have through you. That we have this ability to not only be in relationship, but just to share the gospel, to tell others about what you've done and who you are and how you love us. And I pray that we just don't continue to view Christianity as a system of rules, but as a relationship with God. That we still have the ability to follow your commandments. We still are called to follow your commandments. We're still called to obey you. But it's not out of fear. But it's faith expressing itself through love. That you reveal yourself to us. We're able to grow closer this week. That we don't just pray once and then we're good for the day, but that we just live in prayer. And if there's anything that you're holding back, or if there's anything that is just weighing us down that we don't want to fully give to you, I just pray that we rethink that. We're able to fully give you our hearts, the troubles that hold us down, the issues with relationships, the issues with family, the stress at work, the embarrassment that we feel, that we view you more than just somebody who makes laws or makes rules, but someone that we can go to, that we trust, that we love, that loves us, and we fully know that. I just pray that you transform our hearts, that we go all in. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, good morning. How are you guys feeling today? Hey, well, I...